still looked like it was in good shape. But
yeah,
it is what it is. Now we have a new roof and it's great.
That's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, so my foot.
Are we recording?
Yes.
Yes.
You can tell by her transition.
I don't know. So my foot.
We're recording with a different setup in Chelsea's dining room instead of the basement. So if it sounds funny, that's why.
Hey, it sounds great.
Does it sound great?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. You're talking about it like echoing or being weird.
Thanks. Thanks, Michael.
Remember when we used to record in here and it did echo? Because you didn't have curtains up? Because
I didn't have curtains up. It was right when we first moved in here.
There was something else. Was your last house like that too?
Yeah. We recorded in the dining room. Mm-hmm.
That seems like a million years ago. I can't even remember the layout of your last house.
I can. But I lived there for 3 years, so.
You had to, like, think about it?
I was like, oh.
Well.
We drive by it every once in a while, and it's really cute because they have, like, Christmas decorations up and stuff.
Well, that's nice. Like, I kind of remember it now. But it's similar to this house where you walked in, and except there were stairs going up.
Yeah.
And then the living room.
The one thing I didn't like about that house is you walked in, and the stairs were right there.
Yeah.
There was no, like.
Entryway.
Entryway.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not what you use your porch for, but you have that kind of here.
Yeah.
And you have it in front, too.
I didn't like how close it was to the stairs.
Which are you ever, do you ever use the front door in the summertime? Or is it pretty much just?
It's pretty much, we use it to let Cooper out in the morning. We are talking about getting a screen door put in on that front, but it's going to be pricey because it's curved and like you have to, it's a funky size door. But they did have a screen door on it because you can tell that something was there.
I wonder if because it's rounded, I wonder if they had something up in the rounded section and then had a standard screen door on it. Like a square screen or a rectangular screen door, but then like a little curved screen or window or something up
there.
That
would be adorable.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like a Snow White house.
I guess.
Or a Snow White door. You just lean halfway out. Hello. Yeah.
No, that's like a Dutch door?
Yeah.
No, I meant like a normal screen, like that size screen door.
Oh, and then like
and
a
then
piece.
Just a little piece, like a little curved piece, like this glass right here, like that.
I see
in the
what
top.
You mean.
Mm-hmm. Just another little section.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, or have somebody build you a custom door. Talk to Pat. Be like, how much would you charge for a custom screen door? And have
Does
like
he do that?
I bet he would.
Mm.
But like a wooden door, like our deer track doors.
Yeah.
But with screens in it.
That would be awesome because I think about that all the time. I miss having a screen door. Yeah. We drove past the McKenzie house to the big one that we looked at and mm-hmm. it sold and it looks super cute.
I love that house.
I did too.
I think this house is a good fit, especially with the four of you, but that house... Greg and I would have bought that house.
I love that house, but it was all, Mike called it like knob and tube electric, mm-hmm. like the old electric. Mm-hmm. And we went for an FHA loan.
Mm-hmm.
And
they wouldn't.
We would have had to have put in so much work to get it up to code to get that loan.
Okay.
That would have been.
That makes sense.
That would have been more than this house. But. That house was only like $75,000.
Well, yeah, because it needed work.
Yeah.
But that would all be electrical that a homeowner could do.
Yeah.
When did you get these?
I got them.
I just noticed
a
them
few
they're
months
cute.
Ago.
Oh, did you order them off Amazon or something?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about stuff in your house, like we're not recording. Just
That's
looking
okay.
around.
Yeah.
So my foot's broken.
So your foot is fucking broken. Why don't you tell everybody how you broke it? Cinderella.
Okay. So some friends in our running group started a running challenge. And it was from run every day from Thanksgiving until New Year's Day.
When I ran on Friday, I felt really bad.
Greg's running today, and Greg, I think, has some pretty serious guilt.
I have some guilt, yeah.
So I haven't been running much at all, and I thought, I was telling Greg about the challenge, and it was like 9 o'clock at night. We were just sitting there watching TV.
Yeah.
And he's like, let's do the challenge.
There are people that started on Friday.
Oh, well, you know what?
Anyway, I mean, let's do the challenge.
Hindsight's 2020. So we decided, yes. So I was in pajamas. Well, I was in sweats. I threw on my running shoes, and Greg goes, we'll just run down. We'll run like a tenth of a mile. Just
to do something.
Down and back, record it. We're good to go. So we run down the street. We get to where we're going to turn around. We go to cross the street, and I literally just tripped over my own feet. It was like I stubbed my toe on the pavement is what happened. Like the toe of my shoe caught on the pavement and I fell. Now, I was almost to the edge. I don't know if that made a difference, but there is like a probably 5 or 6 inch drop off the side of our street, like where it's worn down.
Yeah.
The edge of the pavement.
And it was nighttime.
And well, it's lit like where we turned around.
Yeah.
So we're turning and I tripped and my hands went in the dirt off of the side of the road and I bent my left foot in such a way that a bone in it snapped.
I can laugh now. At the time, I wouldn't have done that.
Yes. I skinned my right knee up pretty bad. So Greg is there, thank God. He like hobbles me home, get my shoe off. There wasn't a ton of bruising, but I couldn't. Oh shoot! Hope that still sounds the same. Yeah. Okay, I couldn't put any weight on it. Greg could not touch it, and I wasn't crying because it hurt, but I was like panic crying, you know?
Yeah.
Like I just did something bad. So I took some ibuprofen and I elevated it and I iced it. Couldn't put weight on it. Greg had to help me up into bed at like maybe an hour after we went to bed. Greg was sound asleep. I got up and like shambled my way into the bathroom and got an ace wrap and wrapped it super tight. I'm like, I can't, like the pain was pretty intense. So then when I woke up in the morning, I woke up with like stabbing pain on Black Friday. So we went to the ER. They did an x-ray. It's my fifth metatarsal. So it's like this bone snapped in half. It lined up though. So it broke, but it was a clean break. I have to call and make an appointment with a podiatrist to like get more information. But right now, as of now, I am non-weight bearing for 6 weeks. So I'm learning the crutches.
Yeah.
That's a good time. Greg bought me a little knee scooter. So I've been flying around in that. Our house layout isn't the best for that. But today, so on the way here, I had to practice stairs with the crutches. So, like Thursday or Friday, I basically sat at the kitchen table and worked on a puzzle. And then Greg brought our small TV down from our guest room and put it in our room because we don't have a TV in our room. And I watched TV all day. That was my Friday. And then Saturday, I made mashed potatoes for your house. But also sat at the kitchen table working on a puzzle all day.
Yeah.
But I did get around more on the crutches. And I'm trying to stay in good spirits about it because I'm supposed to go to North Carolina next weekend.
Yeah.
But today I can go down the stairs on crutches good. Going up the stairs is more difficult. I'm hoping that anywhere I have to go, there's a arm rail because I can definitely do the arm rail in one crutch, but two crutches up the steps is
hard,
sketchy.
Yeah.
I have zero upper body strength.
Which I can attest to.
It's going to change, I'm sure. They gave me really good prescription drugs, except people I know abuse them, but need them very much for pain. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't get like wobbly head or anything. I just don't have throbbing foot pain. But anyway, so I, today coming here, I walked down the steps at my house with crutches, the back, only the couple in back. And then Greg brought out my wheelie. So I got on my little scooter and I was scooting around the house with my crutches under my arm. And our neighbor, Ryan, or lives down the road, Ryan drove by and saw me. So he stopped and he's like, "What did you do? Nim told me you hurt your foot." And he's like, "I didn't think you like hurt your foot." I'm like, "Yeah, I'm immobile." So he was laughing because he was holding my crutches and I'm like scooting along. But yeah. And then I came up the stairs coming in here with the crutches. Getting better.
We'll help you. I mean, we have to drive you home. So
yeah. Greg goes, "They'll help you get in the house, right?" And I said, "Well, I mean, I hope so.
Just fucking...
just get out at the curb.
Kick you out.
Where can we drop you off at the gas station? We don't want to have to turn down your street."
I have to do that. That sounds terrible.
But anyway, I'm trying to make the best of it.
I feel like doing it in the winter is prime time. Though, so, out of all of the other seasons.
Well, it's prime time for me because it's the downtime at work.
Yes.
I work for myself. So if I... If I can't go and clean houses, there's not anyone to clean them for me.
Yeah.
So Greg is managing that for... I'm hoping once I talk to the podiatrist, I can maybe put weight on it and get an estimate.
With a boot.
With the boot. Maybe. Like when I can do something like that, because right now I have everything covered up until like mid-December.
Okay.
But that's like just current bookings.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of anxiety, but... I'll make it work. And there is, like, I could probably clean Anne's right now, like, with my wheelie.
Yeah.
I could scoot around there and clean that one. But, like, upstairs on Ridge Street?
No.
Like, no.
How are you going to do that? Yeah.
Even really downstairs. But there's a few that I could clean, and I don't know. I'll figure it out.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, can you imagine doing this, like, in April?
You know what? May. April also downtime. April or May would be fine. Doing it in like July or August, I would be so fucked.
Yeah.
Not only from like our normal typical summer plans, but just the good thing about it though, the good thing about a warmer weather accident is I wouldn't have to struggle putting on pants.
That's true. You just wear shorts.
Yeah, I could wear shorts.
Skirts.
At home. You know, some of my sundresses are very much like tunic-y smock,
yes.
Like patchwork, like Cinderella dresses.
Yeah.
I had on a Cinderella dress last night, one of my short ones, and it's really bad. And when I bought it, the girl was like, "Oh yeah, you could definitely wear this out with like a cute denim jacket or blah blah blah." No, it's just sleeveless. And it buttons up the front, and it's got two big square pockets in the front of it.
You're like, nobody's wearing this.
And it's patchwork.
Oh,
it's like
I've seen
patchwork
that.
Cotton. Well, I've only worn it at my house.
Oh, I think I've seen it when I've like stopped at your house.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'll wear it at my house, but I'm not wearing it out because I look like I should have one of those little bonnets on.
Cinder soot.
Scrubbing.
You look like Cinderella.
Scrubbing laundry in the river.
Yeah.
And then last night, you know, Jones likes to chew my hair and, like, knead my hair. Well, it's been really annoying when I already can't sleep because of pain. But he won't do it if I have a towel or something on my head. So last night, I'm wearing this, like, laundry-made smock dress. But it's great because I can pull it on quick. I took a bath last night, which was because I hadn't taken one since Wednesday.
Yeah.
Took a bath, put on my smock. Well, then I wrapped up my hair in a silk scarf and I had my glasses on and Greg just looked at me like, "Oh my God."
That's true.
I'm wanted to send you a picture of
true
it.
True love.
It was so bad. I'm like, I went from 40 to like 85 overnight. And I'm scooting around on my little wheelie scooter. My boot on.
No.
It's so bad.
Take a picture, Greg, because this is Aaron 40 years from now.
Be like, hey, baby, check it out in my smock.
You should get like some longer sweater dresses and stuff too. Just like comfy throw-on ones.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. should. But the problem is that, like, I've been wearing my thin sundresses at home because anytime I'm like crutching around a lot or trying, because of course I'm already trying to do shit.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm trying to do stuff, I get super hot. So I need to like take layers off.
That's true.
But I know Leanne listens to the podcast. She has no idea this even happened because I shared it on Snapchat and like five other people. These pajama pants I have on right now, these black pajama pants.
Yeah.
They're from her.
Aww.
And I'm so glad that I could get them on over my boot. It was like a godsend. I'm like trying to think like, because otherwise I have to take off my boot, wiggle pants on over the broken
foot.
Which
is probably painful.
It's a delicate process. And the cats and dogs want to know what's going on. So I'm like yelling at them, like poking them with my crutch.
A lot, yeah.
Because they're like, what's happening?
What's happening, Mom?
So thankfully I could pull on these pants, which are sweats, but they're like charming looking black PJ pants. They're not like Tweety Birds or anything.
Oh, Aaron.
Yeah, you know who's gonna be on top of all the podcast movies for the next 6 weeks?
You are.
This gal.
Oh, that's fun. Because I'm not ever.
Yeah, I'll be very good about it because what else do I have to do?
Right. That's how I felt last week when I had the week off for my surgery. It was just like, watched a lot of TV. I rewatched Bake Off. And then I started Clone Wars, which I'm like halfway through the first season. There are 133 episodes in total.
Mm-hmm.
And my Star Wars friends are like, you have to watch them. Fine. And then I caught up. I started watching Schitt's Creek again.
Oh, nice. What's it on?
Hulu.
It's on Hulu?
It's on Hulu.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll start that again.
But. Yeah.
Because it's really not that. There's not that many seasons.
No.
I still feel weird about just laying there watching TV because, I mean, you know this, but we don't have a TV in our living room and we don't have one in our bedroom. We have like a TV room that we sit in. Unfortunately, the TV room is down a flight of steps right now.
Yes.
So it's not happening.
We have five TVs in this house.
That's insane.
Two of which are in the living room.
And well, the kids. So the kids. They each have a TV.
Yeah.
We have a TV in our guest room and then we have one in our TV room. The issue is I still can't just lay in bed. It's like I'm at a hotel.
Yeah.
I'm not used to it. Maybe we can put it on the piano or something and I can, but it's a small TV, so it'd be hard to see from the chairs.
Well, even we have a TV in our bedroom and I still like came out and sat on the couch.
To watch it on a giant TV?
Laid on the couch and just watch TV. Yeah.
Anyway, that is my life catch up. I'm out of commission.
I love you.
6 weeks. I love you too. I hope to hear good news from the podiatrist. From the ER doctor, though, he said that it was a clean break and it's already lined up and there's no big issue.
So you just need rest.
Yeah, which I'm so good at.
You're terrible at it. So am I, though.
I can't rest.
Yeah.
And it's, but when I mean, I have to.
When my doctor told me that I needed a week of recovery time before I could start like running and stuff again, I was out running a week.
You had a week of recovery time before you could do light physical activity.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's maybe walking?
I asked her when I could run again, like easy running. And she was just like, you should be good at like a week, week and a half. And I was like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. She's also insane, though. She's a 5-time Boston marathoner and
I suppose
CrossFits and does all the things.
I feel like if that was the case, she would have extended it knowing you weren't going to listen to her. Like, no, you absolutely cannot run for 2 weeks knowing that you were only going to wait a week.
Yeah. But
she didn't. It's like I have certain friends, and when I have to tell them, like, a time, yeah. like, oh, let's meet at 6, I'll tell them, like, 5:45.
Yeah.
Because I know they won't be there on time.
She told me when I was in there, and Mom, like, wasn't paying attention, but she was just like, yeah, I know how you are, but you really need to rest this week, and then you can start doing things. Which I did. I did better than I initially was going to.
I just heard Mike sigh from the other room.
Mike wasn't even here for 5 of the days, so.
That's true.
Fine.
Greg's like, you need to rest. You need to do. And I'm like, I have a nail appointment on Monday. I'm going to. And he goes, well, how are you going to? And I'm like, I'll figure it out. It's my left foot. So I can still drive.
That's true.
I can. I'm driving.
Can
with
you
my
get
right
a
foot.
Temporary handicap thing?
You know, I wanted to know if I could do that, but I didn't know how.
You could probably look it up and just say I broke my foot.
Yeah.
Go.
Because when we went to, so after I got out of the ER, where I sent you the lovely picture of me sitting in the chair, we went to Meijer
all
and Greg.
Up on Norco.
Huh?
I said all fucked up on Valium and Norco.
They just gave me Norco, which I was plenty, but it really didn't like fuck me up at all. I just didn't hurt, which was nice. But we went to Meijer and he got me a wheelchair. And when he got me the wheelchair, I thought, like, it would be nice if I could park closer, especially with crutches or my scooter. Mm-hmm. And around this time of year, it's, like, impossible to park anywhere.
Yeah.
But modern times, grocery pickup
is the thing.
And it'll save me a bunch of money because I won't be going into stores and, like.
Mike and I love grocery pickup.
Yeah. So grocery pickup was a thing. And then there's something else that I was going to tell you about it. But I think that's it. I do want some type of handicap sticker, though. That would be nice.
I think
there was something. Oh, me, Greg. So we're sitting in silence and we're working on a puzzle because that's. I don't ever get tired of working on them.
Are you sure you're not 80?
I might be in secret. But they never bore me. Like, I'll just work on them all day long until Greg has to tell me to stop.
Yeah.
So I was doing that, and we're just sitting there quietly. And I'm, like, thinking things in my head. I'm not just spaced out, you know. And I go, DuckTales. Greg looked at me, and he's like, what the fuck? And I'm like, I was just singing it in my head, and, like, I sang that part out loud. And he's like, no more drugs for you. And I'm like, they're not, like, messing me up at all. Like, I'm clear-headed. I just.
You're going insane.
That's what happens when I have to sit at home for 3 days. Has it been 3 days? I don't know how long it's been.
You have a lot longer to sit.
I was laying in bed last night and I thought, wow, you know, I've been laying here for so long. It's just been days and days. Like, no, I went to the ER Friday morning and this was Saturday night. Like, time has stopped. I told Greg, I said, well, just remind me what part of the puzzle I was on that day and then I'll remember the day.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
we're doing a podcast.
I know, it's been like a half an hour of us talking. No, it's been like 25 minutes of us.
Well, like,
I had a lot to talk about. Apparently. And this movie is straightforward for the most part.
Hello, everyone. My name's Chelsea.
I'm Erin.
And this is Slasher Movie Review. On tonight's episode of Slasher Movie Review, we're going to Fairville. In Alfred Hitchcock's 1960 thriller, Psycho. It's an hour and 49 minutes long. You can find this on Apple and Amazon for $3.99. The screenplay is done by Joseph Stefano, and as I just said, it's directed by Alfred Hitchcock. It's one of his most famous films.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It stars Anthony Perkins as Norman Bates. He's very attractive.
I think so, too.
He has the eyeliner eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like Ray Liotta?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He a lot of the cast members were in this movie, and then like a lot of episodes of like Fantasy Island or like all of the old like Love yeah. Boat, you know, those types. But he was in Psycho 1-4, and also a few episodes here and there. He passed away in 1992. Vera Miles as Lila, the sister to the main woman. She was in Murder, She Wrote and Bonanza. John Gavin as Sam, the boyfriend of the main lady. He was in Spartacus and Fantasy Island. Janet Lee as Marion, the main lady. She was in The Fog and The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Martin Balsam as Detective Arbogast. He was in Silence of the Hams, which is a spoof of Silence of the Lambs.
Shut up.
I watched the trailer of it, and you should probably do the same thing.
I might watch the whole thing. I have a lot of free time.
Yeah. John McIntyre as Sheriff Chambers. He voiced one of the characters, I think it was the Badger in The Fox and the Hound, and he was in Dallas. And then honorable mention to Virginia Gregg, the voice of Norman's mother. She was the most in-demand radio actress in the 1940s. She's super famous.
Well, if she's a radio actress, then she can do like a bazillion voices yes. then, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Sorry, I had to reposition. This was based off a novel by Robert Bloch.
Okay.
I think is how you'd pronounce that. B-L-O-C-H. And when this was in production, or actually, so Alfred Hitchcock bought the rights to it, and then he immediately bought as many copies as he could so that people wouldn't know the ending.
Ooh.
And the whole cast had to swear themselves to secrecy. Because at the time, there was not...
There wasn't anything like this.
Twist endings yeah. like this. Sorry. You're I keep, fine. Like, repositioning myself.
Do you need a pillow for your bum?
No.
Okay.
I'm good. I just, it's weird because I am always sitting with my leg straight out to the side.
Yeah.
So it's a little awkward. Yeah. Anyway. So this starts out on a Friday after work. Well, at the...
A lunch hour.
Lunch. Oh, yeah. It starts out at lunch hour.
Lunch hour.
Marion, the main lady, and Sam are meeting in a hotel.
Scandalously. This Scandalous. Was a lot of scandal because she was shown in her underwear, like her undergarments.
Yes.
So it was a big deal for the time.
And they were in the same bed mm-hmm. or around the bed at the same time.
Yep.
Well, their boyfriend, girlfriend, Sam has an ex that he pays alimony to. Plus, he's in a considerable amount of debt.
Yeah.
They chat about this.
Yeah.
First, they're like, oh, meeting up is so fun, blah, blah, blah. So you don't know, like, ooh, is one of them married?
That's
is
what
one
I of thought. Them... I thought Sam was married.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. But no, he's just in debt.
Yeah.
His kind of, I don't know, like, long game is that hopefully his wife would remarry. He wouldn't have to pay her alimony. And then get out of some of his father's debt that he had.
Yeah.
And then he'd be able to marry
Marion.
Marion. Mm-hmm. However, she doesn't give a shit. She's like, no, I want to marry you.
Yeah.
So they had kind of like a not great ending to their conversation because he was flying back home from Phoenix mm-hmm. that day for the weekend or whatever. And he's like, drive over and see me, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And she's like, no, she didn't want to break up with him, but I think she's like at the end of the line with him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to.
Ultimatum time.
Yeah. And then he, like, they were going to walk out at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, married couples don't do this in the middle of the day or they don't blah, blah, yeah, blah.
She's
don't
getting sassy.
Run a hotel room for an hour. So he promises her a date in public.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of like, well.
Okay.
That's, yeah.
Whatever. Mm-hmm.
So she's unhappy with the situation. Well, she goes back to work and she works for like real estate, like loan office type thing. It doesn't really say, but it is like real estate
type. Yeah.
There's her and another secretary. Now, this super rich guy comes in, Mr. Cassidy,
mm-hmm.
and he's kind of like bragging, throwing his money around.
I like, because I wrote down.
He's flirting with her a little bit.
You know what I do with unhappiness? I buy it off. And I was just like, look at you with your cowboy hat and your smooth talking.
He says that like money can't buy you happiness, but it can like buy off unhappiness.
Yeah. And his daughter is getting married and he bought a house for her for $40,000
mm-hmm.
cash.
Yes.
I did the math. Well, I didn't do the math. I Googled it.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah. So the average price for a house in 1960.
Oh, I didn't do that part.
Was $1,200.
$1,200.
And he bought
her $40,000.
$12,000.
Okay. I was like, wait a second there.
The average house was $12,000. He bought her a $40,000 house, which is equivalent to $500,000 today.
Yeah. When I Googled it, I got 40K or 400K.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
$400,000.
Quite a large house.
Well, I mean, not in today's market, but
back then, yes.
$40,000 probably got you like a nice house, either in a good area or it got you an okay house with a lot of property.
Yeah.
Something, you know.
Yeah.
Now, he has cash that he is paying for this house with, and he has no big deal leaving it there. And he even says something like that. He's like, I don't carry it on me if I can't afford to lose it.
Well, that too. And Mike watched the beginning of this with me. And Mike said that he doesn't declare a lot of his money. So it's not taxed.
So he's
doing a lot of shifty things. And the owner of the real estate business, like Marion's boss, knows this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the cowboy guy is kind of like, you know, let's go have a drink. Let's blah, blah, blah to the boss, and kind of occupies his time. And he's kind of like a big man, you know, throwing his money around, flirting with Marion a little bit. Mm-hmm.
She is really pretty.
She is super pretty.
Yeah.
Well, as soon as Cassidy goes in her boss's office, he tells Marion, like, just take this money. Take it to the bank. We're not going to leave it in our safety box here. And then I'll talk him into giving us a check instead of just cash, because this is too much for us to handle.
Yeah.
So she's like, okay, cool. What does she do?
She steals it.
When I looked at you, it was like I was calling on you in class. I know the answer. I know the answer. She steals it.
So I don't think she had this idea at first. But she went home. She had a headache or whatever.
She had a headache. Well, I think it was more of she was pissed off about life.
Yeah. So she went home early.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to go and drive up and meet Sam. And she's packing up and everything. And she sees the money. And it's like a light bulb went off in her head. She's like, you know, I could just take this money.
How did you interpret that so differently than me?
Did you interpret it that she already had the plan when she left?
Yes.
Okay.
Because she leaves the office. Oh, I have a headache. I'll stop at the bank on my way home. And then it's her at home packing up her bag.
Okay.
In her black little bra and undies.
Yeah, you're right.
And the cash is laying on the bed. And I'm like, whoa.
Girl's leaving.
She is leaving with that money. This wasn't like I'm going to change my clothes and pack my bag to go visit my boyfriend. And then I'll just swing by the bank with it. No, because if you were responsible, you would want that money out of your possession as soon as possible.
That's true.
That's like
I would. I'd be like, I don't want
this money.
No,
that's like when I used to make the deposits for Petsap. Mm-hmm. It's not like I had the money in my car and then I was gonna go over to the Shaft and have a beer and then run through McDonald's drive-through.
It's the very first thing.
That money went directly to the bank.
This is funny because I was always the deposit person every Friday for Swanson, which was an appraisal company.
Mm-hmm.
And so every Friday I would take all of the checks and cash that people had gotten like that week.
They only did that once a week?
Yeah.
Was it a lot of money?
It was a lot of money. It was for every appraisal, they charged like $800 to $1,400.
Okay.
And then commercial appraisals could be thousands of dollars.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So when every place I've ever worked, we did it like that night.
Every Friday. They had a huge...
Yeah. You don't need to tell everyone the secrets of your last job.
But yeah.
Here's how to rob.
I would do all of the deposits Fridays. Like Friday morning-ish.
It was
usually the first thing that I did when I got there.
Where did I work? I think when I worked at Joann Fabrics. Joann's and there was another place I worked too where we had clear bank envelopes that were plastic and they had a seal, and once it was sealed you couldn't open it back up again.
Yeah.
And then you wrote down the amount of money and everything on the outside, but then we had a big safe that you would like drop the money in.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if somebody came to pick it up or if I don't think anyone in the store like took it to the bank because it was a lot of money.
Somebody probably came and picked it up. So like I think it was like somebody Loomis. Picked it up.
Yeah.
Like the Loomis company. That's who would do Gander Mountain and the bank.
I think the credit union. Yeah, Kmart might have been like that too, mm-hmm. where we had the clear plastic envelopes that we filled out.
Yeah.
Wow, that was like a total flashback of...
Whoa.
I completely forgot about that. Anyway, she takes that money and runs for it. As she's leaving town, she sees her boss. She has so many awkward things where I would just shit my pants and immediately turn around and
just be like,
home.
Oh, I fucked up.
Like, she sees her boss, so like...
I mean, she does come to that realization where she is going to drive back, but it's too late.
Too late, yeah. She sees her boss while she's leaving town. She, so this was probably like 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
6 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Because the drive time is like so off. So I'll get to that in a minute. But so she drives from 6 o'clock to what, 10 p.m. maybe, and mm-hmm. falls asleep alongside the road.
Yeah.
A policeman, maybe she drives later than that, who knows. But a policeman wakes her up
mm-hmm.
and asks her a bunch of questions.
Yeah, like what's going on?
Normal stuff. But she acts like snippy and rude to him.
She does.
Kind of like, why is it any of your business where I'm going? Where he's just like, why were you sleeping alongside the road?
Yeah, there are lots of hotels along
yeah,
here.
Yeah, he says there's a bunch of hotels in the area. And then she's like, I need to get on my way. I need to go. Like,
I think she thinks that somebody tipped the cops off that the money is missing. And so she's kidding.
Well, as she's driving, she's like playing it all through her head.
Yeah.
Like, no one will know that money is gone until Monday.
Nobody.
And even then, it'd be, like, late Monday.
Yeah.
Where things weren't, like, lining up. Like, why didn't
Girl,
she come into work?
Girl, you have plenty of time.
Yeah, you have plenty of time. Get a plane ticket. Fly away. You're good.
Especially in the 1960s.
Yeah.
You could just disappear.
Exactly. There's no way to track anybody. Well, she doesn't do that because she's stupid.
She's dumb.
She should have ditched Sam, who didn't want to marry her anyway, and fly far, far away. Fly to Mexico.
Go to Hawaii.
Start a new life.
Mm-hmm.
Change it. Find somebody to like make you a fake ID for $3 and you're good to go. New life. Dye your hair.
Nefarious.
Get some big black sunglasses to wear around.
Yep.
Anyway, she already had short hair. I'd say cut her hair too, but.
We have this all planned.
Yeah, the 1960s way to steal money. You steal the money and then you just
disappear.
Drive away. Like, like murder. If Norman Bates wouldn't have been such a weirdo about it.
Such a fucking dumbass.
He could have gotten away with it. Anyway. Yeah. Like, they could steal the money. They could commit murder. Okay. Where am I at? Oh, so the policeman is like, what are you doing? Well, then he follows her into town.
Of course he does.
Because he thinks she's acting sketchy. Now, she pulls into a car dealership where she also acts super sketchy.
This part is fucking wild to me. That you could just, in this film at least, you could just go up to a car dealership, bing, bang, boom, out in 20 minutes.
Well, he does make the comment, the car salesman makes a comment, like, I've never been pressured into a sale.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never the one, you know. It's usually not the customer that does the pressure
in. She goes to the dealership because the cop notices her California plates.
Mm-hmm.
Or Arizona plates.
Arizona plates.
And so she's like, oh, shit, like, I need to ditch this car. And I'm like, girl, no, you don't. Why?
You don't. You're fine.
You're fine. So she goes to a dealership and gets a car with Arizona plates. And the cop is like...
And that's another thing, too. The cop is watching her. Well, he watches her go into the dealership, talk to the guy for a little bit, but then he leaves before he sees her do anything. He doesn't see her.
He pulls into the dealership as she's leaving and gets out of the car and stands
there.
Oh,
yeah. He drives away and, like, comes back. But yeah. You see him get in his car, and I'm like, why is she?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so she switches out her car in about 20 minutes.
What a time.
She's leaving so fast that she forgets her luggage.
Yeah. Like the attendant guy has to flag her down.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, just throw it in the back.
Which is so suspicious.
It's suspicious.
So that night, she's caught in a rainstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets a little turned around. So she's off of the main highway at this point, and she pulls over at the Bates Motel. Now, I'm trying to do the math because the theory was that Fairvale was like a suburb of LA because it's not a real place.
Yeah.
Now, the drive from Phoenix to LA is only like 5 hours or 6 hours. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe he lives in Northern California. Because
mm-hmm.
she already drove for 5 hours the first night.
Yeah.
Then she drives for a little bit, swaps out her car, drives till it's dark,
mm-hmm.
and then pulls over at the Bates Motel.
Yeah.
So wouldn't she be, like, way north of LA at this point?
I feel like she would be, but it's movie traveling.
Movie traveling.
So it doesn't count.
And... you know, how fast was she driving? 55? She was probably keeping it right around the speed limit because she didn't want to draw attention to herself. And it wasn't like freeways like now. She probably did have to take back roads.
That's assuming look at that maps. Back roads in the 1960s were 55?
I'd assume.
Okay.
I did actually Google in like 1958, I looked up like the expressway system in the United States. I've been in bed for 3 days. What That's do you want true. Me to do? Yeah. And it is very, like, there was a expressway, though, from Phoenix to L.A., and then it went up to Sacramento and, like, the...
Maybe she was scared to do the freeway.
Oh, maybe.
She is a woman driver in the 60s, so...
She just didn't want... Well, plus the attention. She didn't want to draw the attention to herself. Mm-hmm. Wanted to maybe stick to the back roads. And I'm sure...
Which she drew way more attention to herself driving the back roads.
Well, yeah. She drew deadly attention to herself.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Okay. So anyway, that was weird. So she was kind of hungry. She asked Norman, who met her, the hotel clerk.
Yep.
Owner of the hotel. Met her. Checked her in, and then said, you know, what do you want to eat?
She puts down that her name in the guest or in the registry book as Marie Samuels.
Marie Samuels.
Mm-hmm.
And that she's from LA.
She's from LA.
LA.
LA. And then when she...
Oh, she asks about a restaurant. She's like, is there anywhere to eat around here? And he said, yeah, like 10 miles up the road.
There's a diner.
Mm-hmm. And then I think he said outside of Fairvale. And she's like, oh, I'm this close.
Fairvale was 15 miles away.
Okay. And that's where she was going to see her boyfriend. Which, why not just
fucking drive there.
Get back in the car and drive.
Especially after, like, Norman was fucking weird. Like, he gives off weird vibes.
Yeah. So... she's like, oh, I don't. And he's like, I'll bring you down a sandwich I was about to eat, or I'll bring you down some food.
Well, they were going to eat at his house. And so she like goes into her room to like de-stress from the road or whatever.
Yeah.
And she opens the windows open and she hears Norman arguing with his lovely mother.
Yeah.
And his mother is like, you're not having that hussy here and all the stuff.
You're not bringing that hoe up to my house.
Yeah.
I'm not giving her any of my food. Like, you're crazy. But she's got this, like, kind of scary old lady voice.
Mm-hmm.
And Yeah, so she hides the money. She takes the money out of her out of the bank envelope, mm-hmm. and she. This is kind of like, I guess, dumb old movie thing, but she has the money in her hand and she like opens one drawer and then like shakes her head no and closes the drawer. And then she opens another drawer and she's like, it's like she's miming like where to hide this money.
Yeah.
But she decides she has a newspaper. She opens the newspaper, puts the money in and then rolls it back up. Mm-hmm. So it's hidden. Hidden in like plain view.
Yeah.
Well, then Norman brings down some food and they eat it in like the little back sitting room of the office.
Yeah.
And you find out that he's a taxidermist.
He likes stuffing things.
Yeah. He's like, I don't know anything about birds. I just like stuffing things. And she's like, And she is very polite to him.
She's very polite.
She's very polite, even when they kind of like spin off the rails, because she says something about him like just leaving his mom because she's abusive.
And this is the infamous line, a boy's best friend is his mother's.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And yeah, creepy. But she just kind of like takes it in stride and she's polite to him and she has her, it looks like bread and butter.
Bread and butter with. Whatever.
I think it's just a piece of bread.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she goes to her room.
Well, and she is super polite to him and she's just like, well, why don't you just like if your mom is stressing you out so much, like why don't you like put like have somebody take care of her?
Yeah.
And that's
then he freaks out.
That's
about
when he kind of snaps and is like, I could never institutionalize my mother. Yeah. Do you think he was always going to kill her? Or do you think it was the institution talk?
I'm not sure. I think maybe if she would have just checked in and they would have not talked at all, maybe he just would have, like, dropped it.
Yeah.
But because they had the conversation, because Norman's mother got so mad that she was there. And he was spending time with her.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that like brought it on. If she would have checked in and been like, thanks for the room. I'm really tired. Good night.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have been the end of it.
Okay.
Now, he mentions too that it wasn't his dad died when he was young. This is all in their conversation. His dad died when he was young. And another man came along and talked Norman's mom into building this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think he says that the boyfriend passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And after losing her husband and the stress of the hotel, she essentially had a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. She's ill.
Yes. Ill. And Marion says, well, she sounds strong. No, like ill in the mind.
Yeah.
Now, as they're having this conversation after the institution talk, which was really awkward, he brings up like feeling trapped and they kind of go back and forth. Like everyone feels trapped at some point in their life.
Yeah.
And, you know, eventually you can get out of it. And then that's when she has the realization, like, she's going to go back.
Yeah.
Now, when she traded in her car, and paid an additional $700.
Mm-hmm.
So she knew, like, okay, I'm going to have to pay back this money.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, and I don't know if it's just, like, olden times where, oh, I made this mistake. I took this money. I'm going to owe them $700, but I'm going to go back and make it right. Not like I'm going to go back and my boss is going to throw me in jail.
What she could have done with the time that it was.
Yeah.
She probably could have gone back to the car dealership because the guy was willing to let her drive it for a day or two.
Oh, yeah. She could have stopped at the car dealership.
She could have stopped at the car dealership, said, excuse me, like, I don't really like it, gotten the $700 back. And by this time it was Sunday or something. She could have just swung by the bank Monday morning, went in to tell her boss, like, hey, I completely with the headache and stuff.
Yeah.
The money I left in my car overnight.
Well, if she
would
have taken some of her, what was her friend on?
Like Valium. Or well, it was
it wasn't, she didn't give it a name. And it wasn't like a sedative. What is it? A
tranquilizer. Yes.
Thanks, Mike. That's weird having you sit in here and listen.
I know.
But yeah, she could have made up a story. And
well, if she had one of her friend's tranquilizers, if she would have taken one, she could have been like, oh, I took a tranquilizer as I was leaving work. And by the time
Silly
I got
me.
Home, I passed out. And that's why I didn't take the money.
Silly me.
Anyway, so she tells him that she is going back to Phoenix to get out of her trap in the morning. Mm-hmm. She also, when he's like, kind of does like a call me Norman thing, she's like, oh, Miss Crane. And he knows that that's not how she signed the book.
Yeah.
So when he looked at the book and it said
Samuels.
Samuels from LA, he knew that she was lying.
Yeah.
He also, so she goes to her room and of course he like creeps on her through
a
little hole in the wall. Which, did you see the remake of this?
No.
That gets a little more extreme.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
The 98 remake? Or,
yes, okay. The 98 remake. It's
who plays Marion in
Anne Heche.
Ooh.
It's Anne Heche and
the guy
from Dodgeball, Wedding Crashers, the tall guy. Dark hair. Vince Vaughn. Vince Vaughn plays Anthony Perkins.
Shut up.
Or Norman Bates.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I should check it out.
You should, because he gets this, like, his voice, he can do his voice, like, perfectly.
Well, we know that he can do a teenage girl's voice.
But he has, like, the exact same mannerisms.
The calming. Mm-hmm.
The just like really quiet and talks just like him. It's crazy. Yeah. I was thinking about it the whole time I was watching this because I haven't seen this in a million years.
Yeah.
So he creeps on her, but then he leaves. You see him going back to his house. She balances her checkbook and I think is trying to figure out like, oh, how am I going to get this $700 back? So she takes those little bits of paper and she rips them up and flushes them. What?
Yeah. It's just funny to me.
Instead of throwing it in the trash.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to leave any evidence, okay?
Right.
Now, I don't know how factual this was because I didn't, like, deep dive into it. But they, before this point in time, they did not show toilets.
Ooh.
In movies. You didn't see the toilet. You would see the tub or the sink or maybe someone shaving. You never saw the toilet and you definitely never saw a toilet flush. So what they did to write the toilet into the movie is make this where she was throwing paper down it and flushing it so that it was there.
Oh, scandal.
So all of a sudden there's a toilet in the
Lots
movie.
Lots of controversy happening in this film.
Mm-hmm. I also read, too, the shower scenes coming up, but I read that the reason they got to keep a fairly graphic shower scene is because Hitchcock wrote up the beginning scene.
I read this too.
So there was way more to that. And the movie people were like, absolutely not. You're not putting this in a film. So he's like, oh, okay, we'll cut that back. So he made a scandal out of the beginning, had them trim that up so that
he could
keep
have the shower scene. Because it is very, you see side boob.
You do. You see side bum, too.
You see side bum.
Okay. Which, when did Night of the Living Dead come out? Like, 10 years after this or something? Anyway.
Naked ladies all over.
Yeah. Now, okay. So, she gets in the shower. Greg goes, this must be the best shower she's had all week. Because she's, like, smiling in the shower and, like, so happy.
Mike made me laugh. Because Mike was watching, like I said, he watched like half of it with me.
Yeah.
And he was just like, the most insane thing that I've seen so far is her getting under the shower and turning it on automatically with her standing there.
Even
no prep.
Even on demand water heaters do not have instant hot water.
No.
Maybe it was super hot and maybe she just turned the water on knowing it was going to be cold.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But it was December.
Oh, yeah.
In Arizona, though. California. So
cold. It still gets cold at night in Southern California.
That's true.
In Arizona. Not, like, cold like here, but probably in the 50s,
mm-hmm.
I'd imagine.
But anyway, crazy.
Anyway, yeah, she hops in the shower. Greg's like, it's the best shower she's had all week. And we were laughing about it because last night he took the shower doors off so that I could get in and out of the tub. And I'm like, this is the best. This is so good. After laying around in sweaty pajamas for days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so she's in the shower. You see from the other side of the shower curtain.
Shadowy figure.
A shadowy figure mm-hmm. come in. Curtain comes back. You don't see the face, but you see like a bun, like
yeah.
grayish hair in a bun, maybe a dress or cardigan yeah. sweater, and stabby.
Stabby stab.
Stabby stab. Stabbed multiple times. I did notice that it's the melon stabbing sound.
Yep.
Like, so they use that wonderful sound effect.
Mm-hmm.
And they used, I mean, this is common knowledge, but they used chocolate syrup for the blood.
Yep.
Which was everywhere.
It was everywhere.
There was a decent amount of blood. And
not as much as I think there would have been.
No. And you know what? When she's getting stabbed, you don't see a lot. But when Norman cleans up,
there's, yeah.
There's a lot. But yeah, so stabbed by what you're assuming, and I guess what everyone assumed was the mother. Now, Norman then comes down.
Fucking insane.
Just like, to like check in.
Knowing how this ends, crazy pants.
Mm-hmm. He comes in, looks horrified.
Yeah.
When he sees the body. Sits there for a minute. And then it's kind of like,
okay, I need to take care of this.
Yeah. Decides he needs to take care of it.
Mother.
So he basically covers it up.
Yeah.
He takes all her belongings and he puts them in her suitcase or in the trunk of her car.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls the shower curtain off and
gets rid of the mop head and the towel.
Yes.
Which I thought was very clever because a lot of times, when he started cleaning up and threw...
Well, remember, 1960, no DNA.
No DNA.
He could have said he spilled a bottle of wine.
He could have
just... Or he cut himself.
Left the shit in there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I did notice how, for a roadside motel, that tile was very clean.
Yes. Because there's a close-up of her face, like, on the tile.
Yes. Mm. And one of the, like, flaws, which they had no way to, like, do anything about, was that when you die, your, like, pupils dilate.
Yeah.
So when she's laying on the floor with her eyes open. And when they remade it in 98, they edited that.
Okay.
To make her eyes. And it's a lot more graphic, obviously. Yeah. When she falls out of the shower, you, like, see more and all that. But yeah. So he takes the shower curtain down, puts her on that, wraps her up in that, throws her in the trunk.
Mm-hmm.
With all her belongings, takes that rolled up newspaper and tosses it right in there too with yep. 40 grand in it. Mops up all the blood, puts the bucket, mop, everything
yep.
in her car, and then sinks it in the swamp. Now, how did he know that the swamp was deep enough to sink a car in?
What I thought. I was like,
what's he do if like 2 inches of the bumper is sticking out?
I was like, first of all, how many cars are in there? Because you find out later, spoiler alert, that he's killed a couple other people.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. And it's not the only car that is in there by the end of the film.
I know.
How fucking deep is this swamp?
And Greg
Swamps
was laughing.
Aren't that deep.
Because Greg's like, is it like a tar pit? Like
a bog? Is it a bog? Maybe.
Do they have bogs in Southern California?
I don't think so. I think it's like a...
I think you'd be more likely to have a tar pit.
That's true.
Which is like a bog?
Yeah.
I don't know. This was a long time ago that I would have learned any of that information. Anyway, he stands there, watches the car sink. Greg commented that he likes the way everyone dressed back then.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I love the dresses and stuff. Yes.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I don't know how he knew that it would sink 100%, but it did. So
he
now,
gets a little worried, though, because it, like, stops for a minute.
Oh, that's a little bit of, yeah.
And then it goes down, and then Norman's creepy smile is there.
Like, oh, okay.
Oh, good.
Completely covered up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lila shows up.
Lila?
Lila. Lila. Lila.
Lila.
It is Lila.
Mm-hmm.
Lila.
Yamaha tracks.
Okay. Marion's sister.
Lila.
Mm-hmm. Shows up at Sam's place of business.
Yeah.
Wants to know where her sister was.
Yep.
Because they live together.
Mm-hmm.
And Lila was out of town for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So she got back, I'm assuming, Sunday night?
Probably.
And no sign of her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she assumed that her sister was with Sam, but there was no note.
Yeah.
There was no... And did she at this point know about the money? Or no?
I don't think so.
Because they don't know about the money until the
PI comes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah, she gets back from over the weekend. Her sister's not there. Doesn't know where she is. Now, while they're talking, and it's kind of like a garage / hardware store.
Yeah.
While they're talking, that's when the private investigator shows up at the same place at the same time. And he talks about the money.
Yeah.
Now, it's...
She took the money, see?
Yeah. So her
putting it all together.
Her boss hired the private investigator because he didn't want to get the police involved.
And he didn't want to get the police involved because she'd worked for him for like 10 years.
Yes. So like, he figured, I don't know, maybe there's some type of explanation. So he wanted to like figure it out before involving the police.
Maybe she was in a lot of debt and needed the money or whatever.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, of course, the private investigator is going to assume, oh, she stole the money and she's now with her boyfriend. No. But he has the feeling that she's in the area somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
They kind of, Lila and the PI both assume that Sam is lying.
Yeah.
Which you would.
You would.
To hide.
Yeah.
Like, if she did show up there with that money.
Yeah.
Well, they would have been gone by now, I'm sure. But they would assume that she was there or that he'd hide her. Now, the PI has been going from hotel to hotel all around the area,
mm-hmm.
questioning everyone, trying to find a lead, which would have taken a million years.
Yeah.
Even back then, to not just be able to call up the places and be like, hey.
Yeah.
But to go like into actual businesses one at a time. Now, he stops in at the Bates Motel. He says that she's been missing for about a week. Of course, he does all the stupid shit you're not supposed to do. He looks at the picture like 1 second. Oh, no, nobody's checked in here in weeks. It's just me, blah, blah, blah. But the investigator like pushes it and is like, oh, well, yeah, I guess she did stay here.
Yeah. I guess there was a couple that swung by here like a week ago or whatever.
Yeah. It's because he's just a terrible liar.
He's a terrible liar.
Well, he says no one has stayed here. Well, then he flips through the check-in log and sees that Marie Samuel stayed. He has a little bit of her handwriting, so he compares them.
Yeah.
And then it's, oh, look at the picture again. Oh, well, then all of a sudden, Norman Bates remembers everything about her. Oh, she came in late. She didn't make any phone calls.
Yeah.
She blah, 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 and tells the whole story. Now, of course, the PI is super suspicious about this and just flat out is like, are you hiding her here?
Yeah.
Pretty girl.
Money.
Has a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Like, I think he just assumes like, well, maybe she gave him $100
or something. Did she pay you off? Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Now, he calls and some stuff goes on too. Like, are you hiding her in the house? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then he asks about talking to her mom, I think, at this point. Or talking to his mom.
To his mom.
And Norman Bates is like, no, she's an invalid. She's not going to remember any of this. Blah, blah, blah. Like, don't talk to her. Well, then the PI calls
Lila
and Sam and says, I got a lead. It's this hotel. I'm going to check out some more.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that he called, if he wouldn't have called.
Never would have known.
The mystery never would have been solved.
Nope.
Because, yeah, so he lets them know he's got a lead. Well, the PI continues snooping around the house.
Of course he does.
He goes into the house.
Of course he does.
Is promptly murdered by...
the mother.
The mother.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the fall down the stairs probably would have killed him.
Yeah.
He fell backwards.
He fell backwards, but if you notice, too, he gets stabbed, but then he's, like, stumbling. So he just kind of only falls off of that last step. You know, movie magic. The sister super badly wants to go and investigate on her own.
I would do this.
She's not waiting for the PI. Nope. She wants to go to Bates Motel and find out on her own.
Well, because the PI said that he would be back in an hour or less.
Yeah.
It's been 3 hours.
Yes.
So Lila is like, no.
She's not having it. So then Sam is like, I'll come too. Well, then they go back and forth and are kind of like arguing on like who's going to go to the house. Now, sorry, my notes get screwy at this point.
That's okay.
Sam makes her stay back. And is that when he goes to the house and, like, investigates on his own?
So, first of all, Norman hides the fucking car in the swamp. Cool. How many cars can hide there? So, Sam is just like, well, how are we gonna do this? And Lila is just like, well, we're going to pose as a married couple. We'll check in. We'll chat with him, see if we can find anything. She was like, I'm searching every
room. Well, first
they
go to the sheriff.
Oh, yes.
They go to the sheriff.
I watched it today.
And he's like, I'm not calling the house.
He's just, well, and that's when you kind of get an idea that like.
Well, that's when you find out.
You find out.
Kind of. You get a lead. So at this point, Sam had went to the house and kind of called around, no answer, but he did see a woman in the window.
Yeah.
Now, they go to the sheriff late at night and say, hey,
Sam goes by himself first.
They go to the sheriff, and the sheriff's like, I'm not waking him up
at night.
I'm not calling him, blah, blah, blah. And he said, well, you know, his mother's there, his mother. They kept talking about the mom. Yeah. The private detective mentioned his mother. And the sheriff is like, well, no, his mother died 10 years ago.
And is buried at Greenlawn Cemetery.
Yeah. So then he does the, like, if his mother's there, then who's buried in the cemetery? And Greg's like, shouldn't it be the other way around?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that make more sense?
If the mother's in the house, or if, yeah.
If the mother's buried in Greenlawn Cemetery, then who's in the house?
Yeah.
But that was just a little. So then that adds a lot to the mystery. Because now you don't know what's going on if the mother's dead.
Yeah.
Now, they find out all this because they found out that Norman's mom was apparently a murder-suicide. She poisoned her boyfriend and then poisoned herself.
Mm-hmm. With strychnine.
Yeah. Now,
as far as they know.
At this point, there's so many questions. But Norman found them.
Yes.
Once again, a lot of questions that I had at the time. Now, Norman knows that people are creeping around looking for his mom. So he goes up the stairs in the house, carries his mother, who he's having a conversation with, out of the bedroom, mm-hmm. and hides her in the fruit cellar. She doesn't want to be in the fruit cellar. She's arguing with him. You can't put me down there. And he's like, I have to hide you for your own good.
Yeah.
So he carries her down the stairs, hides her in the fruit cellar. At this point, Lila insists on going to the hotel. And that's when her and Sam are like, okay, we're going to just be fake guests.
Yeah.
Now, when they check in, Sam smartly is like, oh, I'm traveling for work. So I need a receipt and I need to sign your guest book and I need to blah, blah, blah.
I need paper trail.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because Norman's like, it's no big deal. You don't have to sign the book. You don't have to whatever. And Sam says something like, well, I've never been at a hotel where I didn't have to pay up front. Well, Norman is just like super flustered at this point.
That and like they don't have any bags either.
Yeah.
And so Norman's just like, well, let me get your bags. And the guy, Sam, is like, well, I've never been in a hotel where if you didn't have bags, you didn't have to pay up front. Or you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Lila at this point is insisting that it's still about the money. Everyone thinks it's about the money.
Everybody thinks it's about the money.
And that comes up too, that the private investigator wouldn't have just left.
No.
And the sheriff, I think, hints on that. Like, maybe he got a lead. Maybe he knew where the money was and bolted with it.
Mm-hmm.
But they're like, no, that doesn't sound right either. So they don't. They're obviously confused.
Yeah.
Now, they plan on snooping. They know that Marion had stayed in the first room.
Mm-hmm.
So they're like, oh, we're just going to say that we're out going for a walk if... catching the air or something is what they say. Now, her and Sam go into the apartment one, or cabin one, I think is what they're called.
Yeah.
And start snooping around. Now, they find that there's no shower curtain. That's a little
Sam
weird.
Sam points that out. He's like, there's no shower curtain.
And then they find a little scrap of paper, so they know that she had her bank book there. But once again, Sam makes a good point. We knew she stayed in this room. That's not, like, proving that she's there.
Yeah.
Like, that's already been proved. Now, of course, they want to snoop around in the house.
Mm-hmm. Because Lila still thinks his mom is alive and wants to talk to
his
mom.
She wants to talk to the mom. And they, like, think, I'm sure she has the idea that somehow Marion's in the house.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
Probably optimistic, thinking they can get more information. I think, I know this is weird, but I would think that something bad happened to you. If this was the situation. 1,000%. I wouldn't think that you just took the money and ran. Like, if Mike was your Sam, I would be like, okay, well, if she stole this money and didn't show up here, like, that's fucked up.
Something is weird.
Something happened.
Kinky bullshit.
Or she got robbed or kidnapped or something on the way to the bank.
Yeah.
Or
somebody caught wind that she had the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody saw the bank envelope and, like, stalked her. I wouldn't. I don't know. I guess that's how she thinks, too, but maybe hasn't gotten to the point of, like,
hopelessness.
Yes. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Now, Norman was in the office, so Sam strikes up a conversation with him, and they get chatting while Lila makes it up to the house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, good timing.
She makes it up to the house very slowly. I would have been hauling ass running up to the house.
Well, there is sort of like a... They actually talked about that in one of the things I read, how it's sort of like movie time.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like... when Marion shows up in the rain, I didn't hear you, but he came down like right as her car was pulling in and he was at the house.
Yeah.
So that took him like 1 second.
Yeah.
But then everyone else going back and forth to the house takes a long time.
Drama.
And it's just kind of, suspense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Lila's snooping around the house. At this point, the distraction has kind of worn off.
Yeah.
It's not working.
Yeah.
Now, Norman runs into the house and Lila hides. She is hiding kind of on the stairway down to the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
And she kind of notices, like, oh, there's a room down there. There's a light on. Something's up. Now, big reveal. She goes into the room and she sees an old woman sitting in a chair. When she spins the chair around, it is a dried up corpse.
Mummified mother.
Yep.
Ah!
She sees the corpse. She's screaming her head off. And she's then attacked by Norman as the mother.
Yes.
He's got a wig on and a dress like over his clothes.
Yep.
Sam, thank God, was 2 inches behind him.
Yeah.
He grabbed him, tackled him down. And at that point, like, mother had taken over in Norman's brain. Now, in my opinion, from being a horror movie connoisseur, it could have just ended there.
It could have just ended there.
But at the time in 1960, they had to add an additional 10 minutes of film where they explain how he wasn't a transvestite crossdresser. He actually had a nervous breakdown and he believed that he was his mother.
Yes.
But they had to like...
They had to explain what a transvestite was and everything. And I'm like, oh my goodness.
And they had to explain how his, yeah, psychologically what happened. And they could have skipped all of that out and then went to like the last minute where it's... Norman,
case closed.
Norman asks for a robe because he's caught a chill, or asks for a blanket, and he's sitting there like in kind of like a feminine position.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, he's mom now.
Mom took over.
Yep. But they had to give you this big explanation. And I guess too, from what I read, that's like one of the like shittiest points in horror movies of all times or something like that, where they had to like pick it apart and explain it to the audience.
Yeah. You don't need to explain anything.
No, he went cuckoo bananas. Yeah. And thinks he's his mom.
Yes.
Like that's...
That's it.
But yeah. I also read... Typically, I do look for more than one source. But this was the beginning of matinee movies because Alfred Hitchcock didn't want people walking in the middle of the film, because at the time they would play movies all day long. And if you got there at 2:30, you just went into whatever movie started at 2 o'clock.
Okay.
And you'd watch it, and then you'd watch the next one after that, and the next one after, however long you wanted to stay, you just sit there and watch movies all day long. Well, this broke it up because no people were allowed into the movie.
I mean, it was
to keep the suspense.
Yes.
So you weren't walking in being like, hey, what's this movie? What's going on? So that was the start of matinees.
Oh. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool if it's accurate.
I don't know how accurate it is. And I have the, I have a lot of the handwritten, which I need to take back. When the distillery opened. Mm-hmm. There was this giant safe in the attic or the loft area, and it had all of the books from when it was a theater.
Were you looking at getting them like framed?
Well, she wanted me to go through and like pick out anything that like stood out. And what I liked was the like petty cash account.
Yeah.
Like Marie Samuels tripped and tore her stockings. We replaced, and then the date, and it was like 35 cents. So there's all these little like paid out cards that were funny, or like ran out of butter, ran out of this, ran out of that, had to go to the grocery store to get it instead of like the shipments.
Yeah.
But I should look at that, because they had the logbooks of all the movies that they played, how much popcorn they sold, how much candy they sold. And I want to say that Psycho's in there.
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Because I scanned them and I pulled out a couple pages where it was like big name movies that maybe they'd want to frame or something. But anyway.
Do you like this movie?
I do like it.
I like it too.
I don't think it's one though that like once you know the big reveal, it's kind of like, eh. But at the time, I can't imagine how shocking this would be.
I know.
Like watching that.
Like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the theater in 1960. Like,
yeah. But by the time
mind blown.
By the time I saw it, I'd already watched, I was probably like 10 or 12, and I'd already watched like Pet Sematary and It and like
the first Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it and I would recommend it.
Mm-hmm. Gore.
Zero.
Scary.
Zero.
Yeah, same.
Anybody could
watch this.
Yeah. 0.5 scary. Okay.
Anyway, that was Psycho. We hope you enjoyed it. If you like what you hear and you want to know what we're going to be doing in the future, follow us on Instagram. It's Slasher Movie Review, all one word, all lowercase. We also have a Facebook page, Slasher Movie Review. And if iTunes and Spotify aren't your jam, listen to us every Friday night on mtrsradio.com at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, next week is the first Monday of the month, so we will not be releasing a new episode. We're taking a week breaky.
Which is dumb because I have time to watch all the movies in the world right now.
We could just get some in the bank.
Maybe. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a good night and a good week.
Bye.
Bye.